better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I don't know about you, Tommy, and maybe this is just where we discuss it in the summertime, that this is the point in time where optimism starts flying around and you start getting pumped up for the season and your win total starts going up. I haven't gotten to that point yet. Have not, and hopefully I will not. However, I think that the optimism and excitement for football after seeing practices, after watching film, watching press conferences and all that, it's starting to get to me, I guess. The bug, the itch to get football going is starting to get to me, and I'm pretty pumped by it.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen a lot, and we started seeing pads yesterday. Not full pads, but enough that you could call it football yesterday. Yes. It wasn't guys running around, and what was it? Was it Reggie Herring? Who did you see running around in lingerie out there?
It was Reggie Herring.
That was Reggie Herring.
Forgot
right?
about that.
So, I mean, yesterday's practice, there's some good highlights that we got to see that we're filming in that first 20 minutes. We'll talk about Jalen Catalan's interception Chief sprinting down there. So we'll get to that. But, you know, just starting to see a few plays that excite you and a few things that, you know, that word may be starting to float around in your head a little bit. But you're right. You can't get too carried away and start changing expectations in your own personal settings over.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's the thing is with, at this point in time where they're just now getting into pads. I mean, you're talking about it's still new, still fresh. They still got a long way to go. I know it just seems like it is 25 days, but that's an eternity when it comes to practices and still trying to figure things out.
3 weeks from Saturday.
I mean, that's when you put it like that, that's where it really gets exciting.
3 weeks from Saturday.
3 weeks from Saturday, you're going to have not just Razorback football, but football in general.
Well, I mean, and SEC football's back in 7 days less than, so under 20 days.
Yeah, so that's the Florida and Miami game,
right?
That's going to be played there too. So I mean, it's right here upon us, and I know that the excitement level is not only building for me on this show, I know us, but also with the Razorback fans, because you can see just the interaction that you're having and how excited they are about just finally getting able to get the season started. Because with a season like this especially, you kind of get tired of the talk. I know that here on a talk show, that's what we do. We talk. But people kind of get tired of it. They get tired of trying to guess, trying to predict, trying to think that, oh, okay, well, if this happens and the ball bounces this way, this is what's going to happen. This is how great it's going to be. I think people are at the point where they're kind of tired of that. They just want to see the actual football being played. They want to see, all right, enough of saying what this team can do, what they might do, what they have the ability to do. Let's actually see what they do. And that's why the excitement starts getting really revved up, because when you start seeing more of these practices or at least more of these press conferences and hearing more about the team, that's at that point in time where you start getting really pumped up. And I think that was when we talked with Clay Henry last week, Tommy, about, you know, things like open practices and whatnot. They haven't opened up any practices, and as far as I know, they're not going to open up any practices. But I always felt like that some people in the media feels that adds into the excitement level of fans, because they actually get something to hear about from the media.
More to be discussed, more stories, more articles. But, I agree with that. With a program that's needing to sell tickets, I think more publicity out there, more reporting might help build some excitement. But at the same time, I think, what's the trade-off? You've got guys in there with more cell phones, more cameras, more possibility of things you don't want out there. You can't control the message. So, you know, that's the things they got to balance right now. And, you know, Chad Morse is trying to put a football team together. University's trying to sell tickets. I mean, not that Chad Morse isn't worried about selling tickets, because that's how he gets paid.
Right.
But to me, the reason why you would want to do some of this stuff is you've got a better football team than people know about. And I don't know if that's the case right now.
Some coaches actually like, though, not being seen and flying under the radar and not having that.
But if you had about 70,000 season tickets sold, that'd be fine. But they don't right now.
Yeah, yeah. So they need all that they can have to try to make that work.
I don't know what, I mean, if it was that simple, hey, we'll just let the media into practice, we'll sell a whole bunch more tickets. I don't know about that, you know.
I don't either. I think that it's a nice idea, because I think that some fans would get more excited if they started hearing about certain players.
I think people that have budgeted, people that have made a financial decision to buy season tickets have already done so,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's just waiting. Or it's like, well, I need something here in the next week or so to get me to get
right.
to that point.
Maybe some people out there that they'll buy Portland State tickets.
Yeah.
You know, based on what they read. Yeah, I'll get whatever the special deal is. They're running 4 for $100 or mm-hmm. whatever. Take the family to game one. So.
And there, I guarantee you this too, Tommy, that if Arkansas is able to go 2-0 and beat Ole Miss on the road, that next game against Colorado State, it's going to have a lot more people showing up to it.
Don't disagree.
So, you know, it's just a matter of getting it going and, again, seeing actual football. But, Tommy, how long have you been covering, quote-unquote, Razorback football now? Is that
came to work here
14 years?
15 years ago this month. Been working here 15 years ago, like next week or something like that.
15 years?
Towards the end of the month.
Okay.
23rd. So, yeah, 14 years. We started the show in 05. Yeah, 05.
Okay. So, knowing that, since you've been covering the team, you've been on this show doing all that,
mm-hmm.
compare the level of excitement you feel, just not from you, but from just the audience, the fan base, everything, and compared to all of those other years. I mean, is it still as low as you've seen it, even though there's still some people getting excited about it? Is it still feel compared to the other years that you've covered the team and had this show and all that? Is this the lowest still?
I think it's certainly there with seasons, because even like 2012, you know, everybody at going into the year said, it's you just changed head coaches.
He'll win at least eight.
Even though it turned out to be one of your worst. Even though Brett Bielema came in and things didn't go well year one, you were excited about a new coach and you were starting to see some trends and direction. I think yes, the answer is this is probably the least amount of fan buzz going into a season, because you don't have a superstar player, you don't have a superstar quarterback, but it's really a accumulation of what's happened since 2012 that has gotten everybody jaded. I don't know if that's the best word to use there, but everybody's just very cautious about their expectations. Because the last 7 years or so has just been a constant beating on the fans.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few bright spots here and there, you know, a couple bowls, but they're really meaningless bowls when you look back at it.
Yeah.
The Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, you know, some of that stuff that Bielema accomplished was really, on the scale of what Arkansas has done in its history, pretty insignificant.
Yeah.
So I think fans are just a little bit cautious about having artificial expectations based on hype.
And I think that a lot of Razorback fans feel vulnerable, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that you've gone through...
It might be a better word.
You've gone through a series of heartbreaking breakups with a girl. And, you know, you're afraid to put yourself back out there again because you're afraid to get hurt again.
It's just been a lack of stability. And I think we're starting to see... I'm cautiously optimistic that you're headed in the right direction with this program. That you've got a leader in Chad Morris, who has shown me that they can recruit and bring in talent. And this is a big year to see, not can you accomplish getting, you know, to Nashville to a bowl game, to the Music City Bowl, or, not, you know, not can you get to one of those second-tier, third-tier bowls. That's not even, can I start seeing that even in the games you lose closer? You know, are you starting to make plays as an offense and a defense that look like they're SEC-level football plays? You know, yeah, the wins hopefully will filter in with that. You know, right now I think a lot of people would sign up for 2-6 in league play.
I would.
Anyone not? If you know going in, 2-6 is, you're guaranteed 2-6, but you're not going to get any better than that.
I'm taking it.
Anybody not wanting to roll anyone want to roll the dice?
You're 1-15 in your last 2 years. 2-6 sounds
anybody?
Pretty good.
So, but the question is, can you close the gap on, because Arkansas has not looked like an SEC football program the last 2 years for certain. Can you look more like an SEC football? Can you look like you're preparing to compete? And that's what I want to see this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully they get six wins. Hopefully we get to go to a meaningless bowl game. And then you can take a step in the direction of being more relevant. Because that's what Arkansas hasn't been. And that's what I miss is back in the BCS days on Sunday night or whatever it was, Monday night, watching that BCS selection show. Got to be there to see it. Where's Arkansas going to be 2010, 2011? You were relevant. And that's what we all miss is being relevant.
Mm-hmm. Being in the top 25, or yeah, at least being close to getting in the top 25. Just
hell, we would even take receiving votes at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And then you could count down and be like, well, we're ranked 32nd.
But it's a process. You know, this isn't like you've had one or two bad years because you missed in recruiting, you changed coaches. You know, this has been going on for 5+ years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's, you're not going to fix a 5-year problem in 5 months.
No. No. It's going to take time.
One season. But, the question is, we need to see signs that, you know, this is the right guy. He has recruited well. That those rankings, even though they weren't as high as you want them in the SEC, even though 23rd nationally wasn't as high as you'd like it to be, you know, they're doing a good job developing these players. We need to see some affirmation, some confirmation on those kind of things this year.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
That's right. And recruiting classes.
This isn't, you know, it's going to be his third and fourth year where you start getting dividend checks.
Mm-hmm.
When I say dividend checks, I mean 8 wins. Maybe 9 wins. This fan base deserves to win 9 or 10 again. Can this coach do it? I don't know. We need to start seeing, hey, that the battleship is turning around this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not going the same direction as we've been going the last 5 years.
Yeah. It's been awful.
No.
It's just been plain awful. But this year will show progression, hopefully.
It starts with leadership.
That's right.
Starts with leadership with your head coach, and then he's got to recruit some leaders.
Yep.
Go along with that.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I wanted to bring this up because, again, with the amount of stuff and content, I guess you could call it, coming out and on our show, and knowing what Chad Morris and some of these football players, when we get the chance to meet with them, always give us some good talking points. Well, something that was actually discussed by Chad Morris last Friday was, I thought, really interesting. And he was asked a question about personality and about leadership and about being vocal. Because, for instance, someone like a Trey Knox, who is a really highly touted player, freshman player, mm-hmm, who has a lot of potential.
Physically impressive.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, to go along with that physical prowess, he also has a pretty big personality. He likes to talk out there. He's vocal. He likes to have fun. He always likes to smile. And Chad Morris was asked about that when it comes to true freshmen coming in. Is he okay with them being vocal, trying to take on leadership roles, even though they're only an 18 and 19-year-old kid? And here's what he had to say.
You know, we tell our guys all the time, when we recruit you, we want you to be you. If you wear a cowboy hat and a big belt buckle, come in here wearing a cowboy hat and a big belt buckle. Don't come in here and be somebody you're not. We got a lot of these young guys that are coming in that are doing that. We want them to be themselves. We brought them in here to challenge and to push and to create competition because we know it would make everybody better. For day one, we've seen that. You can definitely tell this football team has worked extremely hard this summer on their own, player-led workouts. This is as good a first day in grasping what the install that I've been a part of. And it's strictly their hard work and what they did and the meetings that they had.
I thought that was really interesting, that not to say that encouraging people to be themselves when they come in. I think that that should be common practice, or at least is common practice, among a lot of football coaches because they don't want to change who a player is. But the one thing, or of many things, I should say, but the one thing that I feel like was really missing last year, and we even talked about this during the season, was they didn't have an on-the-field leader. The leadership was missing big time. There was nobody that was counted on. There's nobody that fans or us in the media looked at and be like, all right, you can tell that this guy is the leader out there. There may have been some self-proclaimed leaders, but you could tell leadership was missing. And I feel like that's a very intriguing way of how Morris handles trying to have a leader on the team. Because listen, there's some people that feel like leadership is developed. It's once you get on campus, or since we're talking about strictly in a college football setting, once you get on campus, once you're in the program for a year, 2 years, or 3 years, you move into that role. But there's other people that believe that leadership roles you're born with. You're born with those qualities. You're born to be a leader. There's some of that element too. And what you're hoping for is that one of those two things have happened with these players. Either somebody has developed these leadership roles, or some of these big-time players that have been recruited by Morris have those leadership roles.
You know, people that buy in and people that follow leaders, and there's got to be some buy-in to accept leadership, it's generally one of the common denominators with leaders in any walk of life, business, politics, sports. I mean, just go down the list. The most effective leaders are the best communicators, right? Being able to talk to the people that you want to follow your leadership is like critical. I mean, if you can't communicate, if you're not a good orator, it makes it difficult. So, yes, there's quiet leaders. There's people that just work and lead by example. But you need vocal leaders. You need people that can verbalize a message. I think that's always a common denominator with any leadership style, is can someone convey the message, convey the plan, here's what we need to do, you know, because you've got to speak the words to get everybody on the right path. Does a freshman have the courage to lead upperclassmen? Yeah, I don't know that happens a lot, but it starts with him leading the group of players he came in with. And eventually those guys grow up to be sophomores and juniors and so on, and eventually build a team where they're teaching the younger players how to be better leaders too at some point.
Yeah.
I bet you Trey Knox was a good leader with his high school team.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the things you can recruit to. Those are some of the things you're asking coaches about. And I bet, you know, the best leaders you see around a football team weren't just leaders on their football team. They were leaders in class, like regular class in high school. They were people that they just had that personality and that ability to communicate that people were drawn to them. And those are the kind of people you need helping you run your football team.
Yeah. And when you speak on communication, I think it's also important that it's effective communication, because I know you've probably seen it too, Tommy. And it doesn't just have to be in your football team or whatnot, but you've probably seen some people that think that they're leaders, that think that they communicate, that talk a lot or whatnot, but they just don't have it. They don't have
right.
that respect from the people that are trying to lead.
And that's the second part of leadership. Do people want to follow you?
Yeah.
Well, they want to follow you because they respect something about you, and there's part of what you're doing they want to be like. And it could be your work ethic. It could be your physical traits, in particularly in relation to sports. There's something about the way you go about your business that people want to emulate. That's what makes, that's part of being a good leader. You can't just talk and say nothing. It has to be, this guy's got a track record here. This guy has shown and proven to his teammates that he can get us to the goal line. Well, I'm using some sports analogies, but I think this works whether you're in sales, you're in some walk of business, you know, pick it out. You know, you're not going to follow someone that's not successful, right?
No.
I'm not. Anybody signed up for that?
Nope.
And once the gig's up, once you figure out, this guy don't know what he's talking about. He talks a lot. He can't produce. Those who your leaders have to be producers at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, and there's so many qualities that you can throw in there. I think that we've hit it on the head with communication. I think that the respect that you gain from whether it's the way you lead or leading by example or some of the things that you do, I think it's accountability, where, you know, you're holding yourself accountable as well as everybody else around you accountable. You know, there's just all these different factors that go into leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, and since we're speaking on football teams, to me, I can tell from a football team when they don't have that leadership. I feel like it's so evident when you're watching them on the field, that if you can look at them and say, they look lost, they don't have fire, They don't have passion. They don't have any of that. To me, it's one of the telltale signs that the leadership is lacking. Because coaches can only go so... I think it was Rex Ryan that always would say this, and I know quoting, I never thought I'd quote Rex
Ryan. Speaking of the great communicators.
Yeah, seriously. But one of the things that he would always... that he said that always stuck with me was like, as a coach, I can only take you so far. I can only do so much for you. You're the ones that's going to have to be the ones that step up, and you're the ones that's going to have to be those leaders. Because not all coaches are great leaders. Not all coaches, at least the successful ones, are going to be able to be the only leader on the team, and the rest, and then just everything's you know, hunky-dory. There has to be players on that field, whether it's two, whether it's 20. There has to be guys out there that can take on that role and be successful at it, or else your team will completely crumble like it did last year.
You remember that from Rex Ryan. I just remember, let's go get a bleeping snack.
Yeah,
from Hard Knocks.
It's probably the better quote to take from that. But there, it means something, though.
There's alpha dogs in every pack, you know. You won't follow that alpha dog? I mean, I find it interesting working with different businesses and watching different groups and watching teams. And who's the alpha dog, you know? Who's the type A? Who's the one that is a bull by the horns type of person? You know, willingness and desire to lead. A lot of people, you know, that's part of it. Sometimes the people that would make the best leaders don't have that dog in them, that alpha dog. They don't want to be the head of the pack. It's just not in, it's not in their nature.
No.
But they're producers. They're your quiet leaders. The team's got to have multiple players, multiple people within their structure to make this Razorback football team more stable internally.
Yeah.
And that takes time, too.
Well, I think it's important that...
because these freshmen got to feel comfortable enough to lead, even if it's within their own group of freshmen, their own class.
Right, and that was going to be my point, is that if you're a true freshman coming in, to take on a role of leadership is always a... it's a tough one, because... you have, not all cases, because I don't know how Arkansas is set up this year with just as little of seniors that they have.
16 of them.
But it can't be easy for an 18, 19-year-old kid to come into an SEC football program where there are some of those upperclassmen that have been around a long time and then take on that leadership role. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I think that that's always something
rare.
That's rare. Yeah, and that's really something that if you're that freshman, you want to be very cautious of. Because the last thing you want to do is try to take on that role, ruffle some feathers with some of your fellow teammates of the guys that have been around a long time, and they not give you the respect, and they don't lead, or they don't follow you as the leader. So it's always a really tough thing to try to figure out. But normally, with these teams, especially in football, it does work itself out, because the leadership's role, the leaders that will always emerge from the team. It's just a matter of who is it going to be. It doesn't always have to be the quarterback either. Like there can be other these guys.
You know, we were talking about this a couple shows ago with Clay, and Clay was talking about not having the leadership council for year one. Petrino did it. Morris did it because he needed. Coach said we need followers. We need people to understand what we're doing here. They needed to be leaders in training, so to speak. Clay didn't put it in those words, but that's what these coaches are talking about, is they need people to understand what the coach wants. You can't lead if you don't know where you're leading to. And that's the one thing, now you're in year two. They do have players involved in a leadership council and in these roles, because now they understand what Chad Morris and these coaches want. It's hard for coaches to identify who the leaders are until you build these relationships. And that takes time. You don't just put relationships generally, particularly coach player, in a microwave and it comes out in 30 seconds.
No.
That's not the way it works.
No, not at all.
Trust has to be built. Trust takes time.
That's right. But unfortunately, there's times where people don't want to have that time be taken. Mm. They don't want to go through that. They don't want to be patient. I get it. You've had years and years of trying to be patient and it not working out for you. But if you go in the right direction this year, if a leader emerges now, it's going to make all the difference in the world. We can end on this note, too. One of the things I know my grandfather always told me about with dog sledding, you always have dogs, you know, in a pack. It's like, if you're the leader of the pack, you got the whole world in front of you. You got everything, and you get to decide where you go. But if you're one of the dogs behind the leader, The view never changes because you're always looking up somebody's you know what. So just that's what the leadership needs to be for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How's it going, man?
I am feeling 100, man. I'm ready to go.
Well, there you go. Has that anything to do with fall camp really getting going and revved up? Does that have anything to do with that?
Yeah, a little bit of that because it's still so fresh and all that. And then it's also a beautiful morning, too. So we'll combine the elements with it as well.
So we've had three practices at this point. Shoulder pads came on yesterday. Full pads came on today. I guess one of the highlights was the video I think a lot of people have seen by today. A couple interceptions yesterday, but Jalen Catalon with the interception. And I'm not sure who got to the goal line first, Catalon or John Chavis. But I thought Chief's response to Bobby Swofford's tweet was great. He said, "I had to slow down not to beat him to the goal line." That was great. But that was one of the highlights of practice yesterday. It was a couple of big defensive plays.
Yeah, the second snap of the entire team period for the ones, Scooter Harris just, you know, backpedaled to his drop zone and got Ben Hicks on a pick. And I'm supposed he could have navigated his way through and made that a pick six. And then Jalen Catalon definitely made his into one. And Chief is such a serious guy so much of the time. So it's really cool to see him sprinting down the sideline the way he is. I had that on my phone video I took, but I didn't realize he was in the background. I just filmed Catalon running down the sideline and putting the ball down, and then I heard people around me started saying, "Did you see Chief? Did you see Chief?" And I go back and look on my phone, and sure enough, I got him on there. So that was a beautiful moment, and it just—I think it shows his unit. Hey, I can celebrate too, and I can get jacked up over turnover. And so the defense won the belt again on Monday.
Well, for a guy that's supposedly old, out of his prime, all that stuff, he can at least still move. He's still got energy there. So I'll definitely give him credit for that. But, you know, the other storyline that was happening besides that one, Tom, was, of course, Chad Morris giving the update on Noah Gatland, who suffered an ACL injury. He's going to be out for the year. Just what do you think the impact of this is? Because you never want to see anybody get injured, but it seems like if you get an injury on the offensive line, it's always a little more detrimental than it would be in any other position group.
Yeah, just when they say, hey, you know, we're starting to build some depth on this unit. And so because of that, we're going to split our team up and have two huddles going rapid fire. And that's what the first period was, because when those picks were happening on one field, on the other field, Nick Starkel and KJ Jefferson were running the offenses and Jack Lindsey. So, where are we going with this?
No, it was just
the offensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Offensive line.
Yeah, and the depth there.
Yeah. So that's why they did this kind of thing. And then Noah Gatland, you know, these coaches really liked him. He projects as a starter. If not this year, then at some point. And between he and Dalton Wagner, I think they felt pretty good at right tackle. Now your third tackle, Myron Cunningham, becomes a swing tackle who had not been playing on the right. And so it definitely has an impact on your depth. He was their third or fourth best offensive tackle, and he's gone for the season. And so just a really, you know, sad way to start day one for the Razorbacks.
Tom Murphy with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joining us here on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Let's get to the quarterbacks, because I think that's where a lot of our audience wants to hear your thoughts is – you've seen Ben Hicks, you've seen Starkel, you mentioned John Stevens, these guys working on these multiple ends of the field. What have you observed to this point through three practices and what you've been able to see with the quarterbacks?
Well, we saw Ben Hicks in the spring, and just a guy who brought everybody along. He's a good leader, and I think he's an upgrade just to start the season, just as a starting point. But when you watch Nick Starkel throw the deeper routes, he's just got a very easy motion. It's a good spiral, a lot of good spin on the ball. He has to take some off, because I did hear from some of the receivers on Saturday that he cannons it in there. And, okay, you got a great cannon, but use it when you need it. It's like with Ryan Mallett. Sometimes he'd handcuff guys on 8-yard routes when it's better to just feather it in there at a good pace and let the guy catch it and go. So I think it's going to be a fantastic quarterback battle. And, yeah, I think that either way, between Hicks or Starkle, that they're in a better position than they were to start 2018. And a lot of that is just due to familiarity with the scheme and everyone else around them's familiarity with the scheme.
I've been told when the ball comes off of Starkle's hand, it's just different. It's just different than the other guys, and maybe something closer to what we saw with Ryan Mallett or Tyler Wilson as far as the spin, as far as the velocity. Is that noticeable to the eye? You mentioned his throws out there compared to Hicks. Is it noticeably different? Because one of the GAs on the defensive side was commenting to me at the golf tournament a week ago, when this dude throws it, it's just different.
Yes, and you heard that from the receivers. You've heard that from all the players who were at SEC Media Days. Chad Morris has said it. Yeah, you watch a 30-yard, 35-yard pass, just a calm motion, but plenty of spin and plenty of velocity. Yeah, he's got a big, big arm. And when he masters the art of throwing the proper speed for the route, then, you know, he's gold. And, you know, if he was a super nimble guy, I think he'd be the leader. So they've got a nice bit of testing to do here in this camp. And like I said, I just think they're in a better position to start with.
You know, Tom, one of the things we discussed during the show today was about leadership. And that was something I thought was interesting. Chad Morris made a remark on when we met with him on Monday, was about how, you know, this team and their personalities, they encourage people just to be who they are. When they come in, if you're a true freshman and you're vocal, then be a true freshman and be vocal. He's very embracive of what everybody comes in and tries to become. And I think that that's an interesting thing, because last year it seemed like there was no leadership on the field. But this year, just by the excitement and Chad Moore saying this was the best first day of camp he's been a part of as a coach, you know, those type of comments and quotes really makes you think that he feels like he's got some leadership guys, or at least some leadership roles being filled compared to what it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, and there was some last year, but just possibly not enough. There was just so much newness to everything. But between Scooter Harris and Sosa, Agim, and Cam Curl, and there's some other guys on defense too. I mean, Grant Morgan's a leader. He won the Navy SEALs challenge they had with the program coming in here. Those guys are all leaders. And then Trumaine Carroll pointed out, there's a bunch on offense as well. I mean, including Ty Clary and Dalton Wagner up front. I think Cheyenne Grady is maturing, and I enjoyed my conversation with him on Saturday. We'll be writing about the tight ends very soon. And then, you know, Rakeem Boyd and Devois, they're not maybe as vocal, but certainly their play shows their leadership characteristics. And Ben Hicks, it just the fact that he's so comfortable in what this offense is, and basically – the talking points that Chad Morris and Joe Craddock has, Ben Hicks is the mouthpiece for that in the huddle. And there's a lot to be said for that. And also, congratulations on creating the word embracive.
Yeah, I didn't know. Abrasive.
I like to create words here. It's a word now.
He's a wordsmith, Tom.
Yeah, obviously.
He's a wordsmith. Hey, what have you seen from the defensive line? I mean, you know, there's a lot of questions about linebacker depth again this year. A lot of questions about the secondary, but I don't know that any of it matters until you get a push up front and control that line of scrimmage. What have you seen so far with only one practice with shoulder pads on? What's the personnel look like on the D-line to you?
Well, John, not enough in the open team periods we've seen to give you a definitive answer, but I will say this. Between Sosa Game and T.J. Smith and Jonathan Marshall, that's a pretty good trio of guys in the interior, and I think they're going to develop some guys. Isaiah Nichols, I think, will be able to help them, and some other guys. Maybe these true freshmen can help, like Carter Jackson, some of these other guys. But to me, and then you got at end, you got Dorian Gerald, who should be playing faster as a second-year transfer, and Gabe Richardson, who should be playing faster. I think Jamario Bell may be one of the key personalities for this entire team, because he's built like you want your defensive ends to look. And he's a senior now. I know he's bumped around positions. But if he can give them the type of freakish pass rusher, a difference maker, think of what an impact that would have on this defense. So I think if Jamario Bell has a great year, this defense has a chance to to really make a push up the chart on total defense in the league.
All right, Tom, last one before we let you get out of here. I don't mean to be Johnny Raincloud on the whole situation, but I have never seen anybody make a bigger deal out of natural grass being put on the field than the University of Arkansas and their social media team. It was pretty incredible. And my question is you were out there, you got to see it. I mean, is it as beautiful and wonderful as what we were told? Why is it such a big deal?
Was it majestic?
Yeah, like what was it?
It was a majestic laying of the grass. It was fun. It was a day to, you want, when you watch 20 minutes of practice, then you can go and do this and watch to your heart's content. It was interesting to watch it being laid, and I talked to Bobby Winstead about how you don't just lay one strip and then butt the edges up against the next strip, because if you do that, then you have a little dip there and it's not a stick. So you have to overlay it and then cut it. And so that was fun. And just to hear them talk about the evergreen matrix, they think it's going to be real secure for the turf. And they say this Tahoma 31 grass is the most drought tolerant and cold tolerant grass there is. So maybe they won't have the same issues with some grass dying in the shaded parts in late in the season. A lot of the stadium stays shaded for a chunk of the day. So they think it's going to be a better grass. And Chad Moore, hey, look, we all love the smell of cut grass. So, and they say that Chad Morris thinks they're going to play faster on grass. So, it's just a day's news cycle, man. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, whatever works at this point in time. I guess natural grass is definitely a talking point, but it was a lot of fun how they made a big deal out of it for sure. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, appreciate it as always, Tom. We'll be catching up with you later in the week. All right, my man.
All right, man. Sounds good. See you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Been having some good discussion so far this morning, mainly dealing with leadership qualities and how important it is with this team to have at least a lot more than what they had last year. And I thought it was interesting that Tom brought up that he felt like there were a few players that had the leadership qualities last year. It just wasn't enough. And I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Tom has been covering the team, and we all have different perspectives. But that's one thing that I was kind of blown back by that he said that, because I thought that was pretty obvious that the leadership was really missing that last year. Because I didn't see anybody last year that was like, oh yeah, this guy's a leader. This guy's standing out. Maybe a yell to Froholt. I know he was looked at, but maybe because I'm not in the locker room, I don't see that stuff.
I think some of it, when you're not there every day covering every practice, and certainly that's even difficult at times. Because you need to see what goes on in the position meeting rooms. You know, who is leading amongst their group of peers at their position? Who's leading in the locker room? You know, I think leaders are for a football team are really kind of born in the summers, right? With these player-led practices.
Yeah.
Holding their teammates, their peers accountable. I think that's where you really start to identify the leaders. Who's picking up their teammate when he's wanting to cut a workout short, you know, and encourage him to go on, all those kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, when a guy's getting out of line, who's putting him back in line? You know, it's got to be some of those, some enforcers, you know.
Well, that's why I thought it was funny that Chad Morris, who has gone through a lot of fall camps, and not only as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, he's been around a while, and for him to say that first day of full practice of fall camp was as good of a day as he's seen or that he's been a part of.
But why was that? Because he went into the reasons.
Right. Because of the guys being ready, the guys going through those summer workouts and putting in the effort, and where that when you show up on fall camp, there's no like process where it's like, okay, you got to break these guys down again and then bring them back up. They were all on the same page and all ready to go the way the coaching staff wanted them to be ready.
And I think one thing that helps that, and this isn't like new this year, but it's a couple of years in the making. It's only been around a couple of years. Coaches get to meet with players for an hour a week now. And from my understanding, talking with the coaches last week at the golf tournament, it's basically two 30-minute sessions once a week. And then other than that, it's the strength and conditioning coaches that have their eye on the football team. So you've got time for the coaches to add feedback, for them to implement stuff, for them to continue to work with their players on developing certain things, making sure that things are kind of going in the order and the process they want. That has an effect. Now, that's not obviously unique to Arkansas. Everybody's getting to do that. But the fact that the coaches, and I still don't understand why the coaches across the board don't get to have more involvement in the offseason, but I guess it would just turn into year-round practice would be the problem. But it's a hands-off deal other than the hour a week they get. But I think the hour a week is also having its effect on elevating the launching pad for Arkansas and every other program around the country. But Arkansas needs to elevate its launching pad. I think that hour a week with the coaches is got to help, right?
Has to, because I couldn't imagine where you're around coaches for fall and you know, bowl preparation, spring practice, all that. You're around your coaches, and it's always about doing what they tell you to do, how they do it, all that technique, all that fun stuff. And then once that's over, it's like, all right, for the next few months, it's all y'all. Y'all are the ones that have to be responsible for getting yourselves better, for getting yourselves ready and holding each other accountable. To where it's almost like it's like a parent going out of town, and you got, not only are you having leaving the kids around, but you're looking to your 14-year-old or whatever and saying, all right, you're going to be the one in charge. You're going to make sure that everyone's taken care of, that everyone's being held, that you're keeping them out of trouble and all of that. And it's got to be quite a change from the player's perspective, I'm sure, to where you got used to being told. You got used to knowing how to do it. Now it's like, it's on you. You got to figure it out. And you got to have other people figure it out. And you guys got to be on the same page. So I can't imagine doing that for 110 guys mm-hmm. that are out there and making sure that they're all putting in the work when you can't watch them. But now, like you said, having that hour to be around them, it's almost like a friendly reminder. It's almost like having the phone call checking in on the kids to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
But this is also why you pay a strength and conditioning coach on the same level you're paying an assistant coach. You know, that's why they're making, you know, well over six-figure income, because you think about how many months a year Tremaine Carroll, in this case, is responsible for the football team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically from January through July, that's who's kind of the head coach and in charge of things in a lot of days and a lot of instances. That's where they make their money. It's where they earn their keep. You know, so it's very important you have that conduit. And now with the coaches getting that hour a week, but also Tremaine Carroll and his staff holding these guys accountable, you know, making sure things are going as ordered by the boss, you know, being Chad Morris.
Exactly. And even if you look at it from the other perspective, look at it from Coach Morris's perspective or anybody. Use the example of you, Tommy. Obviously, you're the general manager here. Imagine if you had it all set up, you're around us every day, you're helping, and it's like, all right, for the next 4 months, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. Y'all got to figure it out. I'm sure for you, that's like a little stressful, because it's like, man, are they doing this? Are they making sure that they're going to do it? Are they doing everything right? It's like it would be, you'd make sure that the place doesn't set on fire, but you got to also make sure that everyone's doing their job, and you have that trust factor.
Who's going to make sure Ty gets a haircut every 90 days?
Once every 6 months.
Yeah, who's going to be making sure that the checks get deposited?
It would be like, I'm not leaving the building. I'm not leaving the radio studio. I'm just going to be in my office, and I'm not allowed to
talk to anybody,
interact and be a leader.
Yeah.
You know, be a shepherd for the organization. That's what Chad Morris and his assistant coaches. But once a week I get to come out for an hour, or twice a week for 30 minutes and, you know, kind of check up on things and give some input and some guidance.
And you only got what, 7-8 employees here. Imagine having 110, you know, where you're having to go out and do that. So it's quite different, but imagine, Tommy, how stressed you would be, though, knowing that it's like the entire business, the entire success of it all is relying, of course, on you and your staff, but you can't be hands-on in that for a certain period of time. I'm sure that's a real stressful thing, and that's why the trust factor and having these leaders that are developed and put in those positions is so vital. So you can trust those guys as a coach to where you don't have to have there 24/7, 365.
And that's a critical time. Now, there's obviously a period between January and July that there's spring football and there's spring practice and there's more involvement with the coaches. So it's not like they're going 6 months without anybody there, because they have their 8 weeks or whatever in January and February, then they get after it in March, part of March and part of April, most of April. So it's really about January, February, and then May, June, July that they go with that. That's still an extended amount of time. But you think, well, you know, well, the coaches need time to recruit, but you just wonder, is the hour a week enough? What would happen if that was 5 hours a week? Not just helping football, but just discipline problems, issues away from football. You know, when parents and players agree, hey, I'm going to go play at Arkansas, or I'm going to go play Alabama, Clemson, just pick a school, Tennessee, wherever, you're turning your kids over at 18 years old to the hands of the coaching staff and that position coach, that coordinator, that head coach in a lot of ways. You know, so you want those guys around and to have the influence as much as you can.
Yeah.
On a young man to make him a man in 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
But it's about accountability. It's about someone checking up on you. It's about... It's a whole lot goes into it, but the NCAA rules don't allow you to have that much contact.
Yeah, and coaches are different, let's be honest.
And it's more now than it was.
Yeah.
It used to be none, zero.
Coaches, in some cases, like I know that we use the example of Petrino a lot, but Petrino was a guy that's like everything goes through him.
Right.
He's the one that is handling it all.
He was the ringmaster.
That's right. If it doesn't go through him or if it's not the way he wants it done, then it ain't happening. It's all through him. But there are other coaches that may be more managers where they, you know, they put together other, you know, store managers, if you will, yeah, and you guys run it all, and then I just make sure that the managers, it's kind of like the hierarchy.
Bielema was a little more CEO,
yeah,
and Petrino was, he
more
had
of a dictator.
Hands in everything. He was like, what did Jerry Jones say? He's involved in the jocks and the socks.
That's right. That's right. And again, you can do it both ways. There's different types, yeah, of coaches that can be successful at it. It's just a matter of, you know, how does it impact you? Because I always wondered if Petrino did sometimes break the NCAA rules and actually have contact with his players and whatnot during summer. Always wonder if that was something that was going on.
I think you get feedback through back channels and, yeah, hey, how did this throwing drill go? How did this guy look? You know, those type of things from eyes you trust. But, you know, our point where we started the conversation was leaders on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're both of the belief that the player leaders, the leaders that are on this roster, are identified and born a lot during the summertime because that's when you have to hold yourselves accountable.
Yep.
You don't have the boss looking over your shoulder. Hey, make sure it's done. Make sure it's happening.
And you're forced into that situation. It's not like you volunteer. It's like, no, you have to. Right. This is the way it has to be.
These are the rules.
So, I mean, I just think it's interesting that, you know, for one, that goes throughout the summer workouts and whatnot. But again, we're in the media. We don't even know what's going on there in those summer workouts because we don't get to talk to anybody. So.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.